You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We're going to be talking today with Mark Michael, who is CEO and co-founder of DevHub Technology in Seattle, Washington. So welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Mark, tell us a little bit about DevHub. What do you guys do at DevHub?
So, DevHub is a software as a service platform. So, in the cloud, and big companies, brands, and their agencies license the platform to build out a lot of websites and or landing pages.
So is all this done in-house, or do you have people, are you outsourced this to around the world?
No, everyone's here in Seattle. But basically, since we're licensing the platform to somebody, right, they're using the platform to actually build the sites. We're not actually building any sites for anybody.
Ah, I see. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, how this got started.
Every mistake in the book, basically. That's how it got started. Basically, my co-founder and I, Daniel Rust, who has been my business partner since we were 17 years old, we had a kind of web development shop, you know, from about 16, 17 years old all the way till about, in our mid-20s. And we always wanted, you know, to kind of have a, quote-unquote startup or tech company. But we also know that kind of making money to keep the lights on is kind of important. So we always figured if one of our ideas can get funded, then, you know, we wouldn't be doing client work. We'd be doing, you know, our startup or tech company kind of full time. At that point, we had sold kind of two-ish, you can call them companies, but really more or less apps to two different companies. One of those companies we had sold to was like, hey, can you build us like 15 websites? We're like, sure. Daniel built a platform to easily create 15 plus websites, you know, without having to do the same things over and over by, you know, kind of dragging and dropping and whatnot. And that's the very intro to the whole story.
Well, so is your platform anything like Square or those kinds of simple dragon?
Right, but no one's doing that. Behind it, like if you log into the actual platform, that is exactly what you see, drag and drop onto the screen. But no one's really using those tools. Like they're using those tools to create the one kind of what we would call like a master template, mm-hmm. but then using, you know, Google Sheets or APIs to fill that, you know, those blank spots in to generate a lot of something, right? So think like large financial services company, 14,000 plus financial advisors, creating, you know, those kind of sites for them. Basically, once the look and feel or structure of it's set, all they're doing is inputting the image, location, phone number, all that stuff in there, and it's auto-populating those 14,000 sites.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, stuff like that.
So are you basically working them with commercial or B2B kind of things?
Yeah, 100%. And we have just over 121 enterprise clients.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how many people do you have working with you?
13.
13. So who does the sales for all of these?
Me.
Well, tell me about them.
One other guy, and I always say my CTO / co-founder, Daniel, he's actually the closer because I can hype it up, but people at the end of the day want to know how. And then that's when I kind of just shut up and let him, you know, go in for the kill. So, the whole thesis, it's like, you know, I actually think, you know, sometimes I say the last, you know, I'm 37 today, not really today, but, you know, as of right now. And I always say like, you know, sometimes I say like, it basically was, you know, we've made all the mistakes in the book. We've made 2 million mistakes. We made 3 million mistakes. But as I'm starting to think about it more and more, I'm like, wait a minute. Every one of those things is now allowing us to build something that I think is pretty unique, not just in the market, but as a company. And so I actually believe we can build a billion-dollar business with under 200 employees.
Hmm.
And that is kind of the general line of this company. Mm-hmm. So we're doing it totally our way. You know, I think other people, again, because we raised a couple $1 million. We burned through that stuff in 2010. Most of our investors, who are the best kind of VC/angels between Seattle, LA, New York, and San Francisco, you know, kind of wrote us off basically in 2010. But like, we just weren't going to be the losers that lost people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And so since the fact that we're still around, you know, I guess what, 9 years since then, mm-hmm. and they all thought their money was gone and dead. And because they're real investors, they're not, you know, it's not friends and family being like, where's my money, Mark? It's mm-hmm. real investors like, shit, we took a bet. It didn't work out. You know, it's over. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like, holy shit, we made a bet and these guys are still in business and they should have been over. Anything you guys want, you do. And so we have like a lot of kind of freedom, uh-huh. but I mean, we're also very mindful of like what we're trying to build. And it's not, you know, I think because we've gone through all the motions of let's just build and sell, let's just, you know, I mean, all those things that you can do, let's raise more money. It's actually like, you know what, let's just build something that can last.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually kind of freeing when you start to think about it like that. And so,
well, are your investors looking for an exit plan?
I'm sure every investor is eventually looking for an exit plan, but uh-huh. I mean, because we raise money from I think legitimate investors, again, not friends and family,
right?
They're also understanding in the sense that we didn't, like, could have easily walked away when, you know, the original thesis of what we were trying to build didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we kind of stuck through it, you know, is like, damn, that's kind of weird, you know?
Well, you're talking about building, you know, $1 billion business. Are they in for the long ride like that?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, again, like, they thought we were dead. So mm-hmm. any upside is a huge upside. So, you know, it's, you know, and again, because like I said, because they're kind of real investors, right? Like, I mean, I think on average, probably most of them make, you know, 10, 20, 30 investments kind of probably in their life so far,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know one has made over 100, you know? So, like, again, it's not like friends and family where it's like, where's my money? Where's my return? Where's my exit? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
it's, that's why I always tell people, like, you want it from real people, not friends and family.
Yes, right. It's sort of hard to have Thanksgiving dinner if you haven't made an exit.
Yeah, basically.
So tell me, you know, if we were meeting here, you know, 3 years from today, looking back over these 3 years, what has to have happened during that period for you to feel really happy with your progress?
We would have had to basically build a repeatable sales model. Like, right, you said, like, well, you have 121 enterprise accounts, you know, it's like, who's doing the sales? I'm like, it's me, right? Mm-hmm. And one other guy, right? But I mean, like, that's still not a company, you know? Mm-hmm. And people, oh, you guys are doing so well. It's like, yeah, I know, but like, we're still not there. We're still building that foundation to grow mm-hmm. from. So I think the rest of this year we're using to kind of dial in a little bit more of kind of one, everything from the sales side and then to the marketing side and even to the product side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the 2 years, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022, there's a lot of things happening on all three of those fronts that get us from 121 enterprise accounts to about 9,000 enterprise accounts.
Hmm.
And that's everything from, you know, getting more specialized. So like right now, I think we're in about 12 different industries. So segmenting that stuff out, or those kind of use cases out in financial services and in hospitality, in manufacturing, in healthcare, automotive, figuring, you know, segmenting kind of what our platform does across those industries and then selling against that with some type of kind of industry knowledge versus keeping it generic as it is today, like sites and landing pages.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That all helps. Once at 9,000, what I want to tell people, and I guess this is on the record, if I say it on this, but what I really believe is that like anyone that we do business with, like actually do business with, that's a customer at around 9,000, like I think all of those people deserve to fly private. So I will take them with me wherever we go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So What are you doing today to find new prospects, new clients?
We're producing just a ton of content, right? So mm-hmm. everything across the podcast, video, written, imagery, all of that, and we're publishing that across the board. I mean, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our blogs, all of that stuff is being put down. So that's on the content side. Then on the sales, like just direct sales, we're legitimately cold calling, right? Because B2B, it's kind of nice because you know who your customer is. So like basically reaching out to them directly, hey, you know, you need this, or, you know, introducing you to this. And then, so you have that. And then we're also spending money on Google and Instagram too, to drive leads to the actual site as well.
All right. So you.
But I would say 90% of all sales so far are coming from us directly reaching out to people.
All right. That's what I was going to ask. I mean, you're sending a lot of content.
Yeah.
And are you getting anything back?
To tell you the truth, we're still dialing in the content piece.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we've gotten better. I mean, every day we're getting better and better and better. But let's just say we started this about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We got our first lead that we might actually convert to a sale about a week ago. We're still dialing it in. But
let me try something. Would it be safe to say you're still believing that there's going to be at some point a lot of leads coming from that?
100%.
Okay.
I don't know how there could not be. I don't know. Like, there's something about, I mean, of course my co-founder is like, you know, how do we track it? I'm sure there's a way to track it, but I mean, there's something there. Like, I totally believe in it. Like, I'm just convinced.
Well, I know there's a lot of people who are, spend a lot of time on
but
it.
But see, the problem is like, I also say, you know, when I said 2-3 million mistakes, right? Like, I think you can look 1 year or 2-3 years ago, I forgot. You can check our blog. I don't remember exactly what year it was. We literally published a blog for 365 days a year, right?
Right, yeah.
And 365 days, like literally the whole year, every day. I mean, published on New Year's, on Christmas, I mean, name it, Thanksgiving. We were published. I was addicted to it, you know? And of course, like, nothing really happened. Right. I mean, actually, zero happened.
Right.
Right? Besides, like, I think I got a little bit better at writing. I mean, that's what happened. But then, like, we started to kind of just change the tone a little bit. And so it wasn't us being like, DevHub is the greatest company,
mm-hmm.
but it was, get rid of you in this conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, here is how a financial service client rolls out 14,000 websites and why you should care. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then like you go into that and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a conversation, still no lead, but a little bit of a conversation there.
Right.
Or here's how, if you're stuck on this other type of technology, here's what you could consider. Here's a checklist to ask your current vendor.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
That generated a little bit more of a conversation. When I say a little bit more of a conversation, feedback, like mm-hmm. you get that feedback, like, well, how would this apply if we're on the blank platform,
right.
you know?
Right.
And it's like, based on that, then to put out content around that, and that's what I believe delivered us a lead in the, you know, a week ago. Was like listening to that, just, it's so subtle, or I don't know if subtle is the right word. It's so like quiet of feedback. Like, you're not thinking about it because you're just produce. But if you listen just a second, like, you'll hear what your audience, and everyone has an audience, really wants. And then from there, I think you dial that in. And so that's what I'm excited about today.
All right. Now, I appreciate that move from it's about us to it's about them. I think that's a critical move. I agree with you about that.
That took about 3 years.
Yeah. All right. So now, where did the rest of these prospects, these leads, these clients?
So a lot of it's from, so we get a couple inquiries in through, you know, spending on Google. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say we've gotten 8 since June, but we've closed, I think, about 5 or 6 of those, right? Mm-hmm. So our website, one of our websites is extremely effective, you know, at, you know, converting those leads, or I mean, bringing in those leads, and then we're really effective at closing them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we use a tool called outreach.io, mm-hmm. which is basically like an email kind of program. Mm-hmm. And you basically set kind of these sequences, aka campaigns or blast, email blasts. Mm-hmm. And it's just really smart. And the platform does a bunch of optimizations mm-hmm. For you. Mm-hmm. And it's relatively cheap. And, you know, you basically build a database from 1 million sources to build a database. But I mean, I would say LinkedIn is probably the best. And then from there, you know, you kind of turn it on and watch what happens, see what people are responding to, adjust messaging. Uh-huh. And that brings in a bunch of leads too. That brings in probably about 50 deals a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And So you said that you also did cold calling, right?
Yeah, I do it. Yep. I do it. The other sales guy does it. And to be totally candid, my mom does it.
She does the cold calling?
Yep.
All right. So
basically what we do is, you know, we have our database, right, that we're emailing. We have our database based on an industry. She's from the travel industry. So, you know, we have her focused on hospitality. And, you know, I always say, like, the first call, don't sell them nothing, right? Going back to, like, it's not about us, right? It's like, hey, we're leading to whatever their title is. We're reaching out to leading SEOs in the automotive space, letting them know that RallyMind is a product used to build 10 to 60,000 landing pages. So really quick, RallyMind is our basically – DevHub is a huge platform. It can do 1 million different things. Of course, no one wants to hear that mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, to us, a site is the same, whether it's in this industry, that industry, that industry. Structurally, mm-hmm. it's the same, but people want to know you specialize. So we've spun out this thing called RallyMind, which is focused around landing pages. And so anyway, that's the product I'm talking about. So when we cold call somebody, it's like, hey, you know, Megan, you know, calling leaders in the healthcare space, letting them know that RallyMind is a tool to build 10 to 60,000 landing pages. Not selling you anything, Megan, letting you know that it exists. That's it. Mm-hmm. You wait for a second, right? And Megan's like, great, thank you. That was the best call I've ever had in my life. You know, bye. Or Megan is like, hey, well, who the hell needs 10 to 60,000 landing pages? Mm-hmm. Well, Megan, I'm glad you asked, you know, and then you get into it. Or it's, you know, get the hell out of here. Or it's, you know, you don't get a hold of somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So there's nothing there.
So where are you getting your names from that your mother is calling?
I mean, again, LinkedIn.
Just searching on LinkedIn and.
Well, it's like, I mean, there's 1 million tools. Like, there's a tool called DataNize out there. Mm-hmm. There's a tool called Discover.org. I think they're all using LinkedIn at the end of the day to get their information.
Mm-hmm. And so now when your mother finds somebody who's interested in it, does she, what
passes
she
it to me,
pass it to you. All right. So tell me what happens.
So basically, you know, if she finds somebody like say in the hotel or cruise line or whatever in hospitality, it's like, hey, you know, Steve, thanks for making the time. I always say 10% of the people we talk to actually need us because obviously we're talking about 10 to potentially 60,000 of something. Mm-hmm. Obviously most people don't. So this call is strictly informative for you to understand these different use cases in your specific industry. Mm-hmm. And if anything, like, you know, you just have it in the back of your mind. So when this comes up in the future, you know where to turn, mm-hmm. you know? And then Steve's like, oh, that sounds great. You know, like, I would love to learn more. And then we show Steve, you know, what Holiday Inn is doing and what this cruise line is doing and what, you know, this car rental company is doing. Mm-hmm. It's like, Steve, does any of that make, you know, does any of that fit into your world? Mm-hmm. Oh, not really. You know, it's like, hey, no problem. Let me know if you want me to send you any examples. You mind if I follow up in a month? You know, Mm-hmm. You follow up with Steve for, you know, the next 2 years. And then, or it's like, does any of this fit in your world? You know, it's like, oh, we actually do have like this one hotel group that's been looking at this thing to do promo pages. Is that something you do? Yep, here it is, blah, 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 blah. How much does this cost? You know, and it's like, I'm actually never shy about talking about the cost, you know, like, it's like, it starts at $499 a month, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, is that a lot or is that a little, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, but typically what you're trying to do is get Steve to, you know, this example, Steve, to get someone else on the next call, mm-hmm. because Steve will never make the decision by himself. Not in the enterprise world. I have not seen so far 121 deals plus a bunch that didn't go through. Mm-hmm. Not one person makes a decision, you know, by themselves. Right. I mean, there's one person that's an advocate for you for sure, but they still need like somebody else to like vet this out. That call is when I loop in my co-founder, Daniel, mm-hmm. who talks, you know, very manner of factly, if that's however you say that analogy. Yeah.
All right, so you're talking about in the next 3 years, 9,000 accounts. So what is it that you're going to change to get that 9,000 accounts? I mean,
it's, you know, it's like
your mom calling every one of them.
Well, no, I mean, it's like it's actually just ramping up across all those channels, right? Ramping up the content, ramping up email, ramping up the calling for sure, ramping up across the board in terms, like, I actually believe the content side will start to produce more. And then of course on the paid side, you know, is dialing it into more industry specific solutions, right? Cause it's still general today, which is what we started to build out literally today. Here's how this looks in the healthcare world. Here's how it looks in financial services. It's kind of building out and then spending money also against that as well. So versus like a generic story, a more kind of focused story, and seeing if that can bring us in the additional leads. And so, and the good thing is all of our current customers are almost always growing. They're not, uh-huh. you know, they're not just sitting idle, which also helps a lot.
Well, that's not going to help you get to the 9,000. That's going to keep you strong with 121. Is that right?
Technically, so the 121 is kind of interesting, right? So when we license the platform, let's say to an agency potentially is working with multiple brands, right? So when we say, like, we say 121 enterprises, right? So that's like, I mean, to name drop a couple, let's just say Alamo Nationwide, right? Like if you call Alamo Nationwide, be like, hey, I heard you're powered by DevHub. They'll have no clue what you're saying. Right. I mean, if they listen to this, they'll still have no clue what's it. But the agency that works with Alamo and the agency that works with
you have about six agencies, and through those agencies, they get you've got your 121. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying like one agency can represent six different brands.
Uh huh. Okay.
Right. We have I think we have just over 40, 50 agencies, I guess.
Well, how did you get those agencies?
Exactly what I just said, basically. Cold calling, emailing.
Well, all right. Now, is that the most lucrative channel for getting accounts?
It is, in the sense, like, it's a really good foundation to build from. I don't know if it's the most lucrative long term. You know, I mean, it's like we always flirt with the idea of going direct to a brand. The problem is like the deal will only be that big, right? I think it's one deal versus the agency. And agency is kind of a loose term for a lot of different types of companies because it can be an IT company, it can be a consulting company, it can be a lot. We just blanketly call them all agencies. Right. But yeah, and so you know, it's interesting because they'll bring us into multiple deals that they're, you know, chasing. And I don't know, there's something to that versus like, you know, the one deal with Alamo, like that's only worth that one deal, right? I mean, it doesn't really get much bigger than that one deal, but one deal with that consulting firm is potentially six deals as long as we keep our mouth shut.
Right. Okay. So that's my question. does it make sense to spend more of your time working with agencies?
I mean, I still think, yeah, in the short term, I still think it does.
Well,
no, in the short term can be 3 years. I don't know.
Well, okay. So, I mean, if you're looking at agencies and an agency could give you six accounts, that takes a lot less effort than getting six different accounts, right?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
But also sometimes the sales cycle is a little longer, you know, and so.
Now, does the agency take any of the of your cost? Do they?
No, they typically mark it up, or they just eat it.
Okay, so I mean, it doesn't affect you. Whatever they do doesn't affect you.
I mean, not our pricing. It doesn't affect, no.
Okay, all right. So I'm wondering, why would an agency want to work with you?
I mean, we make them look extremely good.
Well, okay.
You know, so they're bidding on a deal that, and like, typically, you know, again, it's not like it's an agency that is working with like some of the brands I already mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a problem they need to solve, which is typically around scaling something, right? Like, hey, we're working with this huge power sports company. They have 1,400 dealers. They're on six different platforms, and you know, we want to move them all over to WordPress, but we found you guys. Can we use your guys' platform to do that? The answer is yes. Here's how you migrate them. Here's all the responses you need for that RFP. Here's, you know, I mean, everything that you need. Basically, here's everything you need to win the deal.
All right. And that makes the agency look really well.
Right. Now, that's our only job.
Do those agencies tend to work with similar size companies that have similar needs?
Sometimes. The thing is, like, I actually believe there's about 900,000 plus brands in the world, and we are spread all over the world. So, I mean, every once in a while there is an overlap where they're all bidding, or two of them, or the most we've ever had is three of them bidding on like the same deal. But I mean, that's happened one time in what, call it, you know, at least the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just doesn't happen that often.
Well, when an agency is looking to do the kind of things that you are doing, they're looking to do that for their client. You know, it's possible that another agency could be using a different, you know, they're going to move them to WordPress or something like that. Do you have competition? Do you have competitors?
I actually believe that we kind of live somewhere in this place where no one's paying attention, right? On the low end, you have, you know, WordPress, maybe platforms like Unbounce and other kind of landing page, maybe platforms on that side. Mm-hmm. Then on the high end, you have like, you know, Oracle and Adobe and Sitecore and a bunch of other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So in a weird way, I guess we can kind of compete with both ends of the spectrum. But if someone was really looking at what it is they're actually trying to do today and forever, I think we would be the only game in town. But obviously everyone considers both those, and they also consider to build it themselves, right? I mean, if you're an agency, how much more lucrative is it for you to say, hey, I'll build out 14,000 pages or sites for this client, you know, pay me, you know, versus them under most of the smarter ones realizing that, shit, what a headache for us to build it and maintain it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they white label our platform.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious about that, because it seems to me that it's the agencies who have the clients right now.
Yep.
And you're asking your mother to go out and create new clients for you, which is a good thing. I'm not saying not to do that, but it just seems to me that there's a huge market waiting for you with agencies who really don't know that you exist.
Oh, I mean, listen, trust me, I'm calling on agencies. Oh. The other guy's calling on agencies. I mean, that's what we do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So when you call on agencies, what do you tell them?
Same thing. We start off with the RallyMind product, right? Hey, do you need a tool to build out, you know, 10 to 60,000? Well, not do you need a pool. Hey, here is a tool that you need to build that you can use to build 10 to 60,000 landing pages with.
Hmm.
And that's what we start with, because if we start into the whole, you know, websites and this and that, like no one's paying attention today, right? Like, so when you start with websites, they think you're just some outsourced firm that's like building websites. Like, no, we have that covered, you know? Mm-hmm. So we found that when we start off with something around landing pages, as that evolves with their clients and they start to ask us about microsites and other types of, you know, websites and franchise this and whatever, and we got them.
Yeah. It sounds like it. So what's the biggest danger? What would get in the way in the next 3 years of you getting those 9,000 accounts?
Cash flow. Yep.
All right. So what do you do to deal with cash flow?
You build up a really smart team,
mm-hmm.
a very small, dedicated, smart team in Seattle, right? That's paid ridiculously well, that can handle 121 to 150 clients and maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you hoard cash a little bit
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, next 2-3 quarters, 4 quarters. And then you try to make the smartest bets you can. And if you can make 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, 200, 300, 400 different small bets that start to pay, you know, over the next year or so, I think you can get to 9,000 pretty, I'm not going to say easily, but pretty easily.
Uh-huh. Well, now you have a team there that's capable of producing it, right?
Right.
And so is the concern, would the danger be that your sales team doesn't generate the business?
I mean, the danger is in the short term that some of the bigger deals, you know, fall off. That's like the very short term, right? But again, for the record, that could have always happened.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that could always happen. But it's just in the short term, because of the way we kind of scaled it this year so far, you know, it is a little bit more like, God, that would suck. It would have to be like 1 or 2 or 3 big ones at the same time, you know?
Well, why do deals fall off? What's behind the deal falling off? They go in different direction? They decide not to do it at all?
No, I mean, what happens, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why things happen, but one of the things is like, you know, our platform can do a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't have the end relationship with the brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
The brand is asking potentially that agency, hey, can you guys do this? And the agency's like, nah, we can't do that, you know? We're not in part of that conversation when the answer is really, yes, we could do that, mm-hmm. right? And since, you know, the agency doesn't want to spend more money, right? Because they're making money on something totally different than us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That they, you know, eventually their client is like, you know, screw this. We want to move this piece of the business somewhere else. But what has happened in those situations is it's happened now, let's just say 80% of the time, that agency will expose that it was DevHub the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brand comes to us direct.
Uh-huh.
And then the brand's like, well, can you guys do this, this, and this? It's like, yes, we've been able to do that shit for 3 years. Where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, oh, well, these people are like, well, they're really good people. But the answer is yes, we can totally do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll stay with you guys.
Okay.
You know,
right, so you're saying part of the danger is that an agency will not support you moving forward or want to do something different with their budget that they have from a particular client.
Yeah.
And all right. So is there any other thing that could get in the way of you getting to the 9,000 in 3 years?
I mean, cancer, you know, car accident.
All right. So what opportunities do you see in the next couple of years that you can take advantage of?
I think there's certain industries that are just, it's shocking how far behind they are, right? Like, to me, the manufacturing space and it's a tie between, I would just say manufacturing and financial services spaces, mm-hmm. to me are just huge opportunities just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just huge. And manufacturing is just huge on its own, right? Like, I'm talking everything from replacement lawnmower parts to sprinklers to leaf blowers to, I mean, name whatever gets manufactured. I mean, anything.
Well, now,
manufacturing.
Well, now, why would they need, you know, thousands of different landing pages for a manufacturer?
Right. Right. So think about it. If you want to buy a KitchenAid, you know, washer, dryer, refrigerator, where do you get that?
Well, I used to be able to get it from Sears.
Right.
Uh-huh. Or Lowe's or.
Right, exactly. All those places, plus appliance dealers locally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, or installers, or whatever you want to call them, busy dealers. So basically, one of the things that we do for a lot of those types of manufacturers, KitchenAid, Whirlpool, Maytag, amongst others, basically is they have about networks of thousands of appliance dealers, right, mm-hmm. across the U.S. and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Mexico too for air conditioning, but that's a different story altogether. But anyway, and basically they offer what's called co-op money,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you see the ad for like heating and cooling or, you know, refrigerators or washer dryers, and it's, you know, Albert Lee in Seattle or whatever it is, basically we can actually take all the database of all those appliance dealers, build out what a one-page landing page that has inventory specific to that appliance dealer that matches the brand compliance of the manufacturer so that that local dealer can get some of that money spend, you know, on digital back from the manufacturer.
Hmm.
And we can do that at scale across the world, basically.
All right. So if I'm a mom and pop incorporated local,
right.
local company,
mm-hmm.
is that page or those three or four pages for the Kenmore dishwasher, is it just going to drop into my site or what?
Yep.
Ah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, and there's really big companies that do that for those, you know, mom and pop shops, you know, for the manufacturer, uh-huh. you know, approved by the manufacturer, mm-hmm. and for the mom and pop shops, a lot of them actually. And so those are what we would call agencies, but I mean, are those really agencies? I don't know, but we call them agencies.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
All right. So they're not just providing the parts or the product. They're also doing marketing for them, and they're also providing a certain number of web pages that have all the information on it.
Yep.
And do you?
And that's powered by us.
All right. Now, if I'm Mom and Pop Inc.
Yep.
here in Tustin, California, and,
yep.
and my web page is pink and green, is the web page you're going to drop in, is that going to be pink and green?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, yep, yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh.
You got it.
So
I almost got a little teary eyed just now because I felt like you just got it, you know. And that's just one industry that we're in,
yeah.
you know. Like to us, it's all the same, right? Whether it's that use case, like we can generate the site landing page anywhere, anytime, any industry. And but again, like you know, that's too much for people to understand, right?
Uh-huh.
So if we can tell that manufacturing story, you know, for home goods. And then tell a different manufacturing story for, you know, power sports, you know, and then tell that same story for, you know, whatever, and we can keep going. It's like, that's where we think, you know, we can get pretty, pretty big, pretty fast.
All right. So you got manufacturing, you said financial.
Financial services. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Really, really, really huge. I mean, basically kind of the same idea in a weird way, not so much co-op, but there is still co-op, but basically, you know, it's like all the individual insurance agents,
mm-hmm.
Financial advisors, you know, mainly those are the two we kind of play with the most. Same idea, right? In every town, there's an Allstate or whatever it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
basically it's building out all of their individual, you know, agent profile pages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then some of those agents that are in the same geography pool their money, right, to spend that on Google and whatnot. And so we do a lot of that stuff too.
Hmm. Very good. Very good. And so,
then healthcare too. I mean, healthcare is another one, but I'm sure everyone says that. But the need in healthcare is really, it's really specific, right? You have these big hospital groups, or healthcare groups even. And, you know, like you can go see this doctor, this clinic, that clinic, this clinic. And a lot of that, what I just said, doctor, clinic, clinic, doctor, is not built out beyond the main site, you know? And so that needs to be separated out so they can, you know, basically get more leads. And so we do a lot of that too.
So you mentioned $4.99. That's got to be just a
intro
beginning, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So when you think about this, what's the return on investment for that manufacturer? How does he measure that?
You know, it's that is like the probably $1 billion question, right? I mean, we don't have that visibility. And in some cases, our clients, right, who represent the manufacturer, right, will actually eat our cost because they're providing the other piece of the services, which is, you know, driving that revenue, right? Driving those leads. And so
can you measure how many people go through a particular page?
Yeah, we can. I mean, our board has asked us before. I think we calculated it. It was like something between like $50 and $100 million a month flow through our platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, like there's no real way for us to measure that. We're measuring that across, you know, all the different customers. What we know that one of our customers has a $10 million spend a month. Another one is like, you know, $1 million a day, you know? So it's like, but again, like, what is that actually the end result? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We can see that a form fill happened or an appointment was booked or the product was clicked, you know, but you know, beyond that, we don't have that visibility. They do, but we don't.
Well, now, before they use you, what are they using?
Nothing. They're using nonsense. They're using Unbounce or WordPress, or they're not scaling it the way they should. So they're doing one example for mom and pop, right? Or trying to do one example for mom and pop, but you know, people are used to seeing the ugly green and pink, you know? And like, meanwhile, you're saying, you know, you want to get that same Kenmore thing, but it doesn't look like the same, you know, place that I'd be getting that Kenmore thing. So it's like, it's just sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just a lot of not smart people out there. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Right, right.
I mean, it's corporate America, for God's sakes. You know, half of them don't do anything.
Since you're in Seattle, I mean, you're in the smartest part of the world, right? I mean, that's...
We're only smart because we've learned it the hard way. That's why I don't think it's smart. I think it's stupid. But you know, right. But again, like I would never be able to talk like this unless we're doing it and or we've done it or like, you know, like, or we realize what not to do.
Yeah.
And more of it's not what not to do. So.
Well, I'm curious. You've outlined three different, what seems to me to be major niches: manufacturing, financial services, and healthcare. How are you going to approach them? You're not just going to turn it over to your mom.
No, my mom just, you know, she's retired. I mean, she's in Mexico right now, for God's sake.
She's doing a good job.
No, I mean, right now, right now it's, you know, again, like dialing in. So starting to dial it in more to tell the story from the manufacturer's eyes, right? Like, hey, if you're a manufacturer and you manage this in-house, here's how you should do it. If you're a manufacturer and you have an agency, here's how they should be doing it, you know, and starting to tell that story in that respect, and then driving traffic to the corresponding on our end, you know, pages that tell that story and hopefully converting them on that.
Well, so let me ask, let's do a scenario here. You make up the manufacturer. How many pages would they need? Just make it up. You know, what's realistic?
1,000.
1,000. All right. Now,
so I would say 1,000 just on average. I mean, whether it's window manufacturing or, on average.
Right. So 1,000. All right. So you got 1,000. What are they doing right now? You say they're doing nothing?
Nothing. Yeah, actually nothing. That's why I think the opportunity is so huge.
All right. So, well, I'm curious about, you know, when you're talking to this window manufacturer, you got 1,000 pages that aren't there right now. What are they missing?
They just think it's so hard. They don't understand how to manage it. They don't understand.
Oh, I get that. That's what keeps them from doing it. But
yeah,
while it's not there, what is it that they're missing? What would be there if they had it?
Oh, you mean like money-wise?
Money-wise, that's okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I mean that. I'm curious. You know, if you were to ask that manufacturer, you know, you got 1,000. You told me, you know, I'm just making this up. You told me you had 1,000, a place where you would put 1,000 localized pages, right?
Right. Yep.
All right. So if you had 1,000 localized pages, what would you expect or anticipate that would happen differently? What might they say?
Well, I would still be talking in generalities, right? But they would be.
No. If you were to ask them. If you had these 1,000 pages, what would you, Mr. Manufacturer, what would you anticipate that you would get from that? What might they say?
I mean, obviously, I would think they would say, you know, more sales, more leads, more appointments booked.
Okay, so if you did, do you have any idea what that would be?
The variable in that question would be, what are they willing, like, what are they spending per, right, against those pages?
Yeah, well, what are you spending right now might be a question.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly, nothing.
Okay, so right. So now, if it were 1,000 pages, roughly, what might that cost them?
I would say it's somewhere between $50 and $200 a page.
So
on the in a weird way, that's still considered like a micro budget, you know. So it's like, I mean, they're gonna have people that hopefully are spending way more than that, you know. But I would say $50 to $200. I would say it's closer to $250. Is like just you're literally
$200,000. So the
$200, yeah.
The question them, yeah. I would wonder it would be, I'm wondering, Mr. Manufacturer, if you're gonna spend $200,000. What would you need to be getting from this in order to feel delighted that you're spending $200,000? I'd be curious as to what they thought they would be getting, what they would need to get in order to justify that.
I mean, you're totally, I mean, and those are the conversations that we're not a part of, right? We're just providing, we're providing the tech to the company who's making that same pitch, you know, and we're not part of that pitch.
All right. So that's why I was pushing you on this. You know, you've got the manufacturing out there. Can you go directly to the manufacturers?
We can't. I mean, the problem is we've been kind of burned here and there because the part that, you know, honestly, this is a very smart interview for the record. Thank you for this. You know, like that is the part that like, I personally struggle with, because at the end of the day, we're not the ones doing the spend against those sites, right? We're just doing the, you know, we're just standing up those pages. And then some other company, typically like when we say agency, they're the ones doing that piece, right?
Let me ask you this. Are you concerned that you might push the agency who's doing it right now out of the picture and that would hurt your business?
How many listeners do you have?
Thousands.
Then the answer is no.
How about two?
I mean, you can read, I mean, anyone who just heard that exchange can read between the lines, right? Right. I mean, that's
all
obvious.
Right, so, yeah. All right. So that's my question.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It's a very delicate. That's why I told our board, you know, in July, uh-huh. I said, listen, you know, it's not now, but in the short term, and the short term can mean 3 years, mm-hmm. eventually we will have to go direct.
All right. So I
we're not there
that.
Today.
All right. So you're not there today. So here's a question I have for you. I mean, I'm really curious about this. Are there agencies, could you put together a group of 10 to 20 to 50 agencies who would really work very closely with you, and you would help them approach manufacturers, and you could help them build their business?
Right. And that is the 100% yes. The answer is yes. And that's one of the benefits, I will say, to having what we've been doing in the last 3 to 6 months of producing more content, especially on LinkedIn.
That's I'm fine. I'm not against the content. But
what that content has done for us, which is not a direct lead, mm-hmm. is we've repurposed most of that for our agency partners to then push out via their channels.
All right, that's good. I'm curious about is building a relationship with some of those agencies to help them approach approach manufacturers to build their business, even if it means taking away business from even other agencies. So you really have to say to the agency at the very beginning, look, we're going to work with, you make up the number, 25, 50, we're going to get to 9,000 customers. And we're going to work with 50 agencies. But you got to qualify to be part of our premium agency relationship here. And that means, and you start laying out what your expectations are, and then you say, and we're not going to put you in a place where you have to walk in and make all the pitch, because we know that you haven't been through enough of the stuff we've been through to be able to answer all the questions. So we will promise never, as long as we're partners, we will not go around you. We will work with you to approach these manufacturers, but we want to be present in the room when you're talking about our solution.
Yeah, I got goosebumps. You're totally spot on. And in a weird way, we've done that a couple times. But the part that we've not done is formalize anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've been in the call when it's the technical call with their client as part of their team.
Yeah.
But we've never formalized it so we see the entire end-to-end pitch, right?
Because you guys are the experts in your solution.
Yep.
They're not.
Yep.
And they could have the best intent in the world, but when they get in there and they start being asked tough questions, they can crumble because they don't have the experience.
Yep.
Because what happens is they start fumbling around. Everybody else starts feeling uncomfortable because they're feeling uncomfortable. And they just say, mm-hmm. well, let's not talk about this for right now. And it's gone.
Yep.
So what I've heard people say, and I thought this was a really interesting thing when they said, you know, when somebody said, well, we're going to take it to somebody else to make a decision. What I have heard a couple of people say is, well, look, let me tell you a little story. When I am in front of somebody who has a problem, or they have an expectation, or they're looking for a solution, and they have money, that when I'm in front of them, I come away 80% of the time with a decision. Sometimes it's no, but I always know why it's no. But 80% of the time I come away with a decision. Now, when somebody else has to take it and sell it for me, it's 20%. It's not because they're not good at selling, it's because they just don't have the expertise at dealing with all the variables that are involved with this solution. So here's my question. This is what they used to say. So I've heard them say, so here's my question, Mr. Agency, or Mr. Have to go to somebody else to talk. Which do you want? Do you want an 80% chance or a 20% chance? And that's when they start thinking about bringing them into the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, So you want to set up that for us, or I'll make all the intros to the our top agency clients. You started. They want to hear from you. Trust me.
Well, you guys are strong up there. Tell me what your strengths are in getting toward this 9,000. What are your strengths?
Honestly, we're just, you know, bulldogs, right? Like, I mean, we don't care. People say no, whatever. We just keep rallying forward, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I think we're so good at following up with people that whether they need it today or a month or 6 months or 9 months or 2 years, mm-hmm. like, we've just been there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So when they're ready to pull it, you know, pull the trigger, it's like, oh, yeah. Obviously.
Well, if you're going to get 9,000 in 3 years, that means you're going to have to do, you have to, yeah. Even if you looked at it just rolling it out, that'd be 3,000 a year, right?
Right. So again, I mean, there's the piece of this whole thing that maybe I failed to mention or whatever, there will be a self-serve option for the product too. Mm-hmm. And that hopefully is the end of first quarter next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got follow up like a bulldog, and you've got a self serve is coming. Well, it just sounds like you guys are very comfortable. Is that a strength?
I think we do better when we're uncomfortable.
Oh,
I know, it's a really weird thing, you know. So like right now, I said, what's the one thing that can bring us down is cash flow. Mm-hmm. You know, assuming that nothing weird happens there. But I mean, we're really kind of using this time to, you know, I don't know, really make sure that we're solid here as a team. Mm-hmm. Before, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, but one of those deals, I mean, the reason why 9,000 is like sort of like, whatever. I mean, one of those deals, one of 121 can be worth $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, it's why it's always like a really weird, I mean, that's why our board was like, hey, maybe it's dollars that flow through your platform that you should use as a metric, right?
Well, or it's okay. Yeah. You were the one who said 9,000 accounts.
Yeah, I know. To me it is. To me it is because it represents about 10% of like the overall, what I think the market opportunity is. But
uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, what all I was looking for is what is it that you are dedicated to getting? Well, you mentioned $1 billion.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, 9, I guess it's probably more around revenues then, you know?
Uh-huh.
So obviously it's closer to, you know, what, 100 plus million bucks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's a different conversation around that, but that's interesting. You know, I'd be curious to go back and ask these similar kind of questions about manufacturing, financial services, healthcare. What part of that $100 million do you see coming from each of those areas? Yeah.
I mean, bullshit numbers I put together, I figured about 20 million per vertical.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 12 different verticals/industries.
Okay. All right. Right. Well, if we had more time, I'd be curious about how you see ramping that up, because it sounds to me like your platform, it will carry all of this, if that doesn't have to be built out. But it sounds like this is really a sales effort.
Yeah, oh, 100%. It's always been.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always been.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'd be curious.
The shitty part, don't forget, I mean, the shitty part is that because you're growing, because we don't, like, again, if today the story is like, go fundraise, pretend that this is your story today, right? I mean, if the 2 years, you know, 50 plus percent, you know, year over year growth in the last 2 years for sure. And maybe this year we doubled even, I don't even know yet, but, what's it called? Like, then it'd be really interesting, but because we have the legacy of, you know, previous investment and stuff like that, it's like, you're only able to make these kind of smaller bets, right? With one or two salespeople, right? Or one or two more engineers, like at a time, you know what I mean? Like you're not, it's not like we went and raised 50 to 100 million bucks or 20 million bucks mm-hmm. and, you know, are able to kind of like play that, you know, spread a little bit longer, right? Like you can sell someone at $499 and, you know, in 3 years make that money back, right? But you have at least cash in the bank to float that. Like we don't have that luxury. Like we cannot make a wrong decision right now.
Well, I hear that. What I also hear is that it's possible to be doing sales with the best salesperson in the world, and they got a high commission and a low base, and that would would help you move forward.
Sort of. I mean, like, I mean, maybe. I mean, we've made a lot of those mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, we've done it that way. We've done it high base, low commission, or high base, high everything, you know? And it's you know, I don't know. Maybe we don't have the patience, you know, when people don't produce
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many salespeople in your life have you hired?
Call it 10.
All right. You told me that you had hired 10 people, 10 salespeople.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And none of them were superstars at the end of the end of it. So if you were looking for a superstar, would you think that you would make sense to depend upon somebody like you to find that person for?
If it was someone like me, you know, and the answer would still be yes for me, but
I mean, all I'm asking is, how do you find a superstar who would come in here and make the kind of progress that you really want to make?
And I actually believe that we have that person right now, or at least one and a half of those people right now.
Oh, great. Well, that's good. Yeah. Sounds like you're comfortable and you're on your way.
But I mean, who the hell knows, you know? But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Obviously, it feels great, right? I mean, you're, you know, 10 years of nonsense and nothingness, you know, to all of a sudden the last 2 years, more or less, feeling awesome, you know.
Yeah,
and so, and now we're kind of uncomfortably growing from that, you know. Yeah. Like it's an interesting position, you know. And again, we've had 4 offers to be acquired in the last 4 years, right?
Yeah.
We've had multiple investment offers, but again, like, it's like, we've been around the block, you know, we've seen the other side of a lot of this stuff, you know, it's not all roses, you know, like, it's like, shit, let's just build something that can be here for a minute, you know?
Good.
And so that's what's kind of fun. Like, when we don't expect anything, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, let's just go. Like, we have a company, you know, we just instituted a health challenge for every one of our employees, 13 of them, like, $1,000 if you can do this 90-day thing, you know? Like,
Wonderful. Sounds great. Sounds like you got some good stuff going there.
Well, when are you going to come visit?
Well, we can talk anytime. I'm down in Tustin right now, but if there's anything I can do to help you, I'll be happy to talk with you again.
Yeah, cool.
Well, is there anything you'd like to say as we finish up the radio show?
No, really. By the way, I've done not a million of these, but at least 20. This is a very smart one, for the record. So for all your listeners, I don't know if they're all this format. If they are, keep listening.
What made it smart for you?
I think, you know, you connecting dots versus just asking questions, right? It's like, here's what it is in manufacturing. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. So in manufacturing, you know, like, versus like somebody just reading off of a piece of paper, you know, just to fill airtime. Right, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Great. Well, it's been wonderful being with you.
Thank you.
Being with you. I think you've probably got a lot of other people thinking about how they can make businesses thrive in California, right?
Yeah.
All righty. Take care.
Cool. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.